Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
I didn't want to show that clip. I really didn't. But the Bible is the Bible, and I didn't choose the language in the Bible. My job is simply just to regurgitate it to you. Is that the right word? I don't know. It simply says, the theme verse for our series, Stuffed, is Proverbs 25:16. If you find honey, eat just enough, because if you eat too much of it, you will vomit. Yeah. That's what it says. I paraphrase it just by simply saying, know when enough is enough. I think that was probably a better way if we're going to put something out in the foyer that has sort of the subtitle on it. I don't really think the word vomit needs to be out there. However, I did think it was necessary to put that horrible image in your mind for a couple reasons. Number one is, I always want to give you some video, some image that helps you remember the day's scripture. I don't think you're going to forget that one, right? But if you're honest, there is a part of your life that is a perfect picture of. I don't know what your area is that you come in where you really have already had enough. I mean, walking in the door, you have had enough. You don't need any more to be any happier, any more content than you are right now, but yet you walk in completely stuffed, full of everything you could ever possibly ask or imagine, yet you still feel like as if you need more in order to be happy. And so you stuff a little bit more in, stuff a little bit more in. When asked, what could you possibly want? Your answer is, I'll have the whole lot. I'll have it all. I'll stuff myself and stuff myself and stuff myself to the point where I can't possibly hold anymore, and everything in my life blows up. Because it was all in a pursuit, thinking that more of what you already have is what you need to be happy. And we move into this season where it seems like as if it's a season of indulgence, where it basically just says, if you want to be happier, if you want to have a great time this season, what you're going to need is more, more, more. I mean, we kick it off with a holiday that's supposed to be about Thanksgiving, but really it's about indulgence. I mean, after all, we sit around a table, and there is more food than anybody could possibly eat in one setting. There is more food than everybody at the table could possibly eat in one setting. And you eat, and you eat, and you eat until you're completely stuffed. Now, do you ever get to the point where you say, I've had enough, when you've actually had enough? Or do you get to the point where you've had enough, and something in you says, you know, you really need to have one more helping of mashed potatoes? Or, better yet, you finally do get to the point where you know you've gone beyond that limit, and then somebody says, all right, it's time for dessert. You know it. And you weren't even thinking about dessert. And you couldn't, you just said, I can't eat another bite. And it's like, oh, pumpkin pie? Well, maybe I'll just have a wafer thin slice, right? You're just going to shove one more little slice in there. And then, of course, after that, you regret. You regret what you just did. We have words like turkey coma. You go and you basically lay up on the couch. You can't do anything productive all day but sit and watch football the rest of the afternoon. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But you just sit there and you can do nothing more than lie around because you've eaten too much. And then as soon as you move to the end of the indulgence of eating too much, you immediately shift moods either that night or the next morning over to, you know, I don't think we have enough stuff. We got to stuff ourselves full of more stuff. So let's go get some more stuff because we can get a lot more stuff this weekend than we ever could before, we ever could afford. So let's get some stuff on Black Friday. I don't even know what you call it on Thursday, but Black Friday and then on Cyber Monday. Let's just go get some more stuff. And somewhere on that weekend, if not on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, somewhere that weekend, you will have this conversation, did we get enough? And it's this question about like, did we get your mother enough? Did we get our kids enough? I don't know if I got Sharon enough. I don't know if I got Cindy enough. I'm thinking about Bill. What do I need to get Bill? I don't know if I got him enough. Enough. And so because you don't know how much is enough, you'll push it and you'll get too much stuff. And you ever have those moments where once you actually put the presents under the tree on Christmas, you go, oh, we got too many things. We went a little too crazy here. And then your budget, your credit card bill looks sort of a picture like that, right there. Disgusting, gross, and make you want to, yeah? Is that how it looks? And then you move into, from Christmas, you move into the next holiday, which is New Year's. which New Year's has now become almost synonymous with drinking and driving, because after all, the best thing we can possibly think of to do on New Year's is to watch a ball drop, and it's going to take several hours for that to happen. So what are you going to do in the meantime? Well, you're going to drink. And so often you think you've had enough, but you don't know what your, we said, I didn't know what my limit was. And you think you know what your limit is, but you don't know what your limit is, and so you have too much. And so it ends up looking like that at some point in the night, because we don't know what enough is. And God doesn't come to you and say, listen, all of these things are bad. The problem is when you have too much, when you have more than enough, what you do when you have more than enough is typically something that doesn't lead anywhere good. And so he says in here, he says, hey, if you find honey, eat just enough, because too much of it's going to lead to bad stuff. It's not going to end pretty, if you will. It could scar you in a lot of ways from this point forward. So how do you know when is enough? Well, that's the hard thing, because there's always this voice that's telling you a little bit more, a little bit more. Because there's something within me that says, I'm happy, but I'm not too happy. I probably could be happier. There's probably a level of happiness out there I haven't yet attained, and this so far has brought me along to bring me to a place of happiness, and so I still don't feel like I've kind of reached the pinnacle of happiness. There's still something more out there, and so if I just have a little bit more of what I already have, that's what's going to make me happy. And so we push it, and we push it, and we push it, and so we go, and we have things like we say, well, you need to treat yourself. You only live once. And the funny thing is there was a day and a time in our country where Thanksgiving was a special meal. It was like the one time a year where you indulged yourself with food. It's not that way anymore, though, is it? Literally, anytime you go out to eat, you indulge yourself in food. I mean, so often you get to the point where you've eaten beyond the point of enough, and there's still some left over for you to take home with you, right? Because no restaurant ever wants you to leave feeling still full. Or sorry, not feeling full. Nobody restaurant ever wants you to leave not feeling satisfied, so they're going to give you more than enough. And it's up to you, of course, to choose when you're at that limit, and we have a hard time picking that limit. The reason why we have a hard time knowing when is enough is because we're not really sure if we're happy. We're not really sure how to be happy. We struggle to be happy. And so because we struggle with this issue of joy and happiness, we feel like as if we've got to do something to bring about this happiness that always seems to be eluding us in some way, shape, or form. For me, it happens like this. I'll be eating pizza. It's great. I love pizza. And I've done enough research to know that two is enough. I know this by study. I've tested this out multiple times in my life. I've eaten enough pizza to know two is enough. And that's my limit. However, when you have a good pizza, you know, bacon and pepperoni with some good thick crust, it's just amazing. See, now your mind, on the one hand, your mouth's watering, on the other hand, you're still kind of grossed out from what you just saw. So I understand that. I'll finish that second piece, and everything in me says, come on, man, you're on a roll. Let's keep this going now. This has been good. This has been great. Go get some more. But that voice comes in, no. I know two is too much. Or sorry, I know three is too much. So then the voice comes back and says, yeah, but two is great. Three is too much. Go get that cutting wheel. Shiver one down for you. Because is two and a half too much? We don't know. Or what if you ever walked over to the pizza and there's no cutting wheel and you look around and you go, you know, some of these are big slices, some of these are smaller slices. I know that two normal sized slices is too much. This is a smaller slice, so it's kind of a half slice already, and I do it. And every single time I go over the two limit, I regret it. The stomach starts, you know, you feel the weight of it, the bloating of it, it all kicks in, and I feel like that. I don't explode like that, but I want to. I have anything to relieve the pressure. Because even when I know my own limits, there's still that voice that just says, hey, you could be happier. And the reason why I think I could be happier is because I don't really understand or have the ability to enjoy the happiness that I already have. Now, because you don't know how much is enough, because you don't know how to be happy, and you don't know how to be happy because you struggle with this issue of gratitude. You see, we think to ourselves that when I get to a place of happiness or joyfulness, then of course the gratitude will naturally overflow. And you've had some moments like that where you've been so happy you just blurted out thank you, right? You're so excited you just blurt out thank you. But the reality is you won't really enjoy and be happy what you have so you can get to the place where you know how much is enough unless you begin with gratitude. As a Jesuit priest said many years ago, I don't even know what his name was, I just saw as a Jesuit priest said, It's not joy that makes us grateful, rather it's gratitude that makes us joyful. It's not joy that makes us grateful, rather it's gratitude that makes us joyful. Now, knowing this truth, Moses is about to lead his people into a amazing festive season of indulgence. Now, these are the people who've been in slavery. They've been without. They've been nomadic people throughout a wilderness and a desert. And they're about to go into a place that's described as a land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, some good times are coming ahead. And before they get in there, he says to them, kind of bringing off the same idea that we see over in Proverbs, that if you find honey, and they're about to go find honey, and he knows that, just eat enough, because if you get too much, it's not going to end well. And so he says to them over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, when you've eaten and when you've had enough, be sure to thank the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and his laws and decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and have had enough, and when you've had enough of building those fine houses and settling down, and when you have enough of your herds and your flocks and they've grown so large, when you have enough silver and gold and all of it is multiplied, then your heart's going to become proud and you're going to forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's the one who led you through that vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty, waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought water out of the rock for you. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known. It was to humble you and to test you so that the end it might go well with you, that you might say to yourself, my power and strength and my hands has produced this wealth for me. You don't want to get into that place. You need to rather remember that the Lord your God is the one who's given you the ability to produce this wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors this day. He says, when you get to that place where you've eaten and are satisfied, you need to make sure you say thank you. You need to make sure that this is a part of your everyday practice in life, because if you don't, you're going to forget. Now, the problem with forgetting is that when you forget, you don't have a clue what you forgot. So you don't even realize you've forgotten. You follow me on that? When you've really forgotten something, you don't know what you've forgotten. Like if I ask you right now, tell me some of the things you've forgotten. Impossible question, right? Because if you've really forgotten it, you have no idea. You've sometimes left the house and you have this like sixth sense, like I've forgotten something. And then somebody asks you the really dumb question, well, what'd you forget? If I knew, I wouldn't be having this problem right now. I just know there's something out there and I forgot what it is that I've forgotten and I need to figure this out. Help me work through this. And so the reason why we struggle to be happy and the reason why we don't know how much is enough is because we've forgotten something we didn't realize we forgot. What we've forgotten about is God. We forgot about all that God has done for us. It hasn't come to our mind. We don't really think about the fact that everything that God has given us, everything that God has put before us, we don't really think consciously about that. And so we just move through life, and instead we focus on the things that we don't have. We focus on the voids that we have. We focus on thinking to ourselves, I need more. Why do you need more? Because you've forgotten God in the whole process, and you've forgotten what you really have. So he says, that's going to happen. You're going to forget if you don't do this on the front end, if you don't develop the practice of giving thanks. So it's something you've got to practice. Now, there's a lady who did some research about this quote from the Jesuit priest. Her name is Brené Brown, and she writes about her research in a book called The Gifts of Perfection. In an interview she did on this book, she says this, "The relationship between joy and gratitude is one of the most important things I found in my research. I wasn't really expecting it. In my 12 years of research on 11,000 pieces of data, I did not interview one person who had described themselves as joyful who also did not practice gratitude." So she says 11,000 pieces of data. She put it all together. She didn't find a single case of somebody who described themselves as joyful who didn't also practice gratitude. For me, it was very counterintuitive. I went into the research thinking that the relationship between joy and gratitude was, if you're joyful, then you'll be grateful. But it wasn't that way at all. Instead, practicing gratitude invites joy into our lives. Practice is the part that really has changed my life. It's really changed my family's life and the way that we live every day. And when I say practice gratitude, I don't mean an attitude of gratitude or a feeling of gratitude. What I mean is practicing gratitude. Now, so often, maybe you've heard it taught, because it rhymes. And when things rhyme, sometimes it doesn't matter how true it is, we just use it because it rhymes. You've heard people say, you need to have the attitude of gratitude, right? The problem with that is it's hard to just conjure up an attitude. I'll give you an example. You may have at some point said one of the dumbest things a parent can say to a child. If you've never been to Disney World, I guarantee you when you go to Disney World, this will happen. To go to Disney World, it's very expensive, but if you want your kids to be able to experience this at some point in their life, you're going to need to start saving now to be able to go probably sometime in the summer of 2021, 2022, something like that. Because it's very expensive to go to Disney, especially if you want to stay on property and do, you know, full Disney, not just get a park and stay somewhere else. But if you really want to do the whole Disney experience, it's going to be very expensive. As a matter of fact, to make sure you get the most out of your time for a few extra dollars, you can actually hire a Disney day planner for you who will plan out your itinerary, who will go online and book pre-advance what's called fast passes, so you can get straight on the rides when you want. And she will actually plan it out so that you'll get to the park between 9 and 10. You'll hit Space Mountain with no line at all. Once you do that, you'll have a little bit of time for lunch after that, maybe a few other rides in that area. Then you'll move over to this part of the park, and we'll have a fast pass there set up for you. And they will literally plan out your day so you can get the maximum amount of fun in your short time that you have there at Disney. It'll blow your mind just how much they can plan this whole thing out to maximize your fun. After all, you want to make sure that when you go to the happiest place on earth, then everybody's happy. But you know what's going to happen sometime between 10 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. If you've got youngsters, they will have a meltdown, right? And there'll be a very difficult moment for you. Because what's going to well up in you is how much money you have spent, how much planning has gone in to simply putting a smile across their face. Because you did it all because you had this vision of them just having a wonderful, amazing experience, and they get there, and they're having a meltdown because either their ice cream isn't what they wanted, or they didn't get in line, or they didn't get to see Winnie the Pooh, or who knows what it is, and they're melting down, and they're crying, and you're like, and you turn to them in this moment and say the dumbest thing you could possibly say. You better change your attitude, mister. And in that moment, your child looks back at you and goes, okay. No. You know it doesn't happen that way, right? As a matter of fact, usually when you say that, now they're upset about their ice cream, but now they're upset because you're mad at them, and so it only compounds the whole issue. You can't just tell somebody to change their attitude from that of being frustrated or mad or whining to also just change your attitude and act like as if you're in the happiest place on earth and be happy. You can't just be happy. You can't just change your attitude. Coaches know this. They go to a team that has a losing attitude, and they just don't seem to know how to win. You know, if you're a Dolphins fan, you understand this. If you're a Redskins fan, you understand this. If you're a South Carolina Gamecocks fan, you understand. Oh, is it too soon? Is it too soon to lose to a Division II school? Is it too soon? Yeah. It's hard when you have that losing attitude to just change it, and it doesn't happen overnight. What happens? The coach has to come in and change their practice habits, right? He starts telling guys, listen, we need to show up early. We need to stay late. We need to give 100% and then some. We need to look out for each other. We need to make sure we have a team mentality, not just when we're here at practice, but even off the practice field. We're going to live together. We're going to work together. We're going to grow together. And they're doing all these different things, these tangible steps to develop practices that will lead to the right attitude, right? If you remember the movie came out a couple years ago, the Kendrick brothers put it out, and they, with that was the Love Dare, I think it was Fireproof, and they had this whole thing called the Love Dare Challenge. All of that was about was this: when you have a marriage where two people don't have the attitude or feeling of love anymore, the only way you can get that back is to practice doing loving acts. And if you're practicing and doing loving acts, it can lead to a loving feeling, because attitudes aren't something you can just tell yourself to change. And so if I just tell myself to be grateful, I'm not going to be grateful. I have to practice gratitude. And unless you're willing to practice gratitude, you're not going to be able to enjoy what it is that you have. When you can't enjoy what it is that you have, you're going to feel like you never have enough. And you're just going to stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff everything in your life till something looks like that. So what are the ways we practice gratitude? Some of you do this already. Some of you need some more practice in this area. How many of y'all do the gratitude challenge where every day in the month of November you post something on social media that you're thankful for? Anybody? A couple? One, two, three out there? It's a great practice. Now, when you do this, everything we're going to talk about here, it has to be specific. General gratitude is not gratitude. Oh, I'm just thankful for life. I'm just thankful for everything. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my relationship. I'm thankful for my family. No, it has to be specific. Once it gets specific, then you really come down and say, God, I thank you. And you can fill in the blank. I'm thankful that I have a car that faithfully runs. Do you know when you usually think about your car that faithfully runs? when it doesn't run. And so usually what ends up happening is we blame God for the things that we never have thanked him for. Isn't it funny? He gets all the credit whenever it doesn't work. He gets all the credit whenever the health fails. He gets all the credit whenever the money's not there. But it seems like as if the praise is often void in the other time. It's like the only time we think God has done anything in our life is when he hasn't done something in our life, right? And so just to practice this attitude, not just practice attitude, but practice the practice of gratitude. So post on social media. Another thing you can do is to write notes around the house. All my kids are 18 months apart, which if you do the math, that means that we had three under the age of three at one point in life, which means three in diapers. Not fun. It is very difficult to be thankful for children in those times. But I remember Melissa wrote a little card and she put it on the kitchen counter. It was a verse out of the Old Testament. It says, "These are the children the Lord has graciously blessed us with." These are the children the Lord has graciously blessed us with. And so we would say that over and over and over and over again because we had to practice gratitude because we weren't always very thankful for our situation in life. And so sometimes we'd even say it jokingly. It became such a part of our life and such a part of our practice. It would be jokingly, "Hey, honey, one of the children the Lord has graciously blessed us with needs to be changed, and it's your turn." So we would practice saying this verse because we need to remind ourselves that it is a blessing. And this is a blessing that God has given us, not a curse. Because so often, when you don't realize, you don't acknowledge the blessing, you'll think your blessing is a curse. And you've been there. Other things you can do to practice thankfulness. Some of you do this around Thanksgiving time. You'll go around the room and you'll say what you're thankful for. I always say, don't do this right before you eat. Do it on the couch hour before dinner. Do it right after dinner. Just don't let the turkey get cold. Sorry, it's just a personal pet peeve. But make sure you do it. And some of you, how many of y'all enjoy that? Just isn't it one of the most special times you have? First service, I had somebody go, "No, I don't like it at all. I don't like hearing about it. It's good stuff. Makes me feel all bad." I didn't get that. No. And if that's your attitude, you need to practice gratitude because this is where you're really struggling. One of the most amazing things, though, is that people are going around the table. As long as you have some good rules, like it has to be specific, no repeats, nothing generic, tell me what you're really thinking. Give me something specific, even if it's something small. Do you know what a beautiful window that is to somebody's soul? They may say things that surprise you. They may say things that you didn't even realize meant so much to them. It's just a beautiful time to grow and develop and to build relationships as a family. Now, if it's so good one time a year, why don't you make a practice of doing it once a week? Once a week. You'll have a family dinner and you'll practice gratitude. You'll go around the room and just say, "What are we thankful for?" Or maybe if dinner time's not a great time for you, do it on your way home from church. Do it on a set time where you're all together, where once a week you can do a practice of gratitude. You're practicing it. I'll tell you the practice you can do. How many of y'all are already in the practice of when you see somebody from your family in the afternoon or evening that you hadn't seen all day, you ask your husband, wife, your kids, you ask them, "How was your day?" Right? How many of y'all do that? You know? What if you changed your practice just slightly because you want to practice gratitude and change the question from "How was your day?" to "What good happened today?" Or, better yet, "What's something you're thankful about today? What good happened at work that you're thankful for? What good happened at school today that you're thankful for?" It reframes your life, doesn't it? Because most of the time when you're asked, "How was today?" how often does the answer come back like the nightly news? Who got in a car wreck? What bad happened? Who lied? Who cheated? Who stole? It's just negative, 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 negative. And it doesn't really bring you to a place of gratitude. As a matter of fact, after all that negative, I got to eat to forget my day, right? I got to drink to forget my day. And I can't just stop at one or two biscuits. I need three or four. This is a three-biscuit kind of day, right? Yeah. But if you change your practice, it'll change where your attitude is. Because now you're conditioning yourself, and what you'll find is if you know you're going to be asked what good happened today, guess what you're looking for throughout your day? You're looking for something good that happened during that day. And so what we need to do is change our practice so we're developing and cultivating a practice of gratitude. So then we would have an attitude of gratitude, which would lead to the attitude of joy and happiness, which would allow us to get to the place where we can say, "You know, I've had enough. I have enough. I don't need anything. No, I can pass. I'm good." Let's pray. Fathers, we come to you right now. We just want to pause and personally thank you for something specific in our life. And So, Father, within the family that you've given us, Lord, we just want to thank you for and, Father, for our financial situation, whether it be through a job or through somebody supports us, we want to thank you for this specifically. Father, we all have stuff. We probably have way more stuff than we really need. But right now, I just want to thank you for this one thing that I have that I really do enjoy. Father, we know lots of people, but there's this one person I just want to thank you for right now. A lot of things about myself I don't like and I focus on a lot, but Father, this is something I want to thank you for about myself and who I am and how you've made me. Father, may these things be a part of our everyday conversation with you. You know I bring you far more blame than I do praise. You know I bring you far more needs than gratitude for the needs that you've met. And Lord, we've all forgotten that we've forgotten you. We're convinced that simply because we're here on a Sunday that we remember you. But the reality is, Lord, we take the vast majority of everything you've blessed us with for granted. And we've forgotten all that you've done for us. May we begin to practice this lifestyle of gratitude. We may enjoy what you've given us and know that it's enough. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.